Hey, this is Steve Allen. I'm the pastor of Destiny Christian Center in LaPlace, Louisiana. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Discovering Your Destiny broadcast. I hope it builds your faith, helps you to grow in every area of your life. Enjoy this message. We are in a war on negativity. Today we're going to deal with the subject of bitterness. Our subtopic today is bitterness, the poison you drink. I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15, and this you won't even have to turn anymore today. This is going to be our scripture that we're going to deal with all day. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. When you get it, say, I'm there. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me today. As you listen to this lesson, I don't want you to listen for someone else. I don't want you putting your elbow on the person next to you. Did you hear that? I don't want husbands and wives hunching each other. No, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And if there's any bitterness in you, we want to get rid of it today. Because God has a wonderful plan for your life, and bitterness hinders that plan. Bitterness, and listen to this, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping and waiting for the other person to die. But the text says bitterness will spring up and trouble you and defile others that are connected to you in relationships. So when you're bitter, you're dying and you don't know it. See, most people think that if they're bitter, they would know it, but since bitterness is a root, it grows slowly and you may not be aware that it's growing in you. Bitterness is most of the time unrecognizable by the person that's bitter, because roots are below the surface and normally you can't see roots. But if roots are allowed to grow, they produce visible fruit. So bitterness is a root, but if they're allowed to grow, they will produce visible fruit. You ever dealt with somebody and then there was some kind of misunderstanding that happened and they just went off? I mean, just went off. Started talking about stuff that happened 10 years ago. I mean, just went off. And you're sitting there like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, there was a root that's been developing that you couldn't see because it was internal. But if an internal root is given time, it will produce external fruit. Bitterness is one of the most deadly spiritual illnesses affecting Christians today. I am convinced that there are many Christians that dress up every Sunday. They go to church and they say all the right things, yet they're harboring bitterness in their hearts. And I want you to hear this. It's possible to be bitter and not know it. It's possible. So let's define our term today. What is bitterness? Bitterness is unresolved anger. Example, maybe your parents divorced when you were a child and you wanted them to stay together and you're bitter about that. Maybe on your job you worked hard and you feel like you were overlooked for a promotion. And you're bitter about that. Bitterness is unresolved anger. Bitterness is a deep-seated feeling of resentment and ill will against someone that you feel that has done you wrong or has done wrong to somebody that you love. Bitterness is a condition that arises when we fail to resolve feelings of personal hurt. Here's a question. How many of you have ever been hurt in your life? Let me see your hands. Those of you that, let me see the hands of people. So as I look, it's about everybody in here that has been hurt at some point in your life. How many of you have felt that things and people and situations have been unfair to you at some point in your life? Now, the real problem is not the unfairness. The real problem is not the hurt. The question is, did you adequately resolve those feelings of hurt? Did you respond properly? Listen, bitterness is the offspring of prolonged, nurtured offense. In other words, it didn't start out on the level of bitterness, but an offense left unchecked will grow. And let me tell you something else. You can change everything externally. You can change your environment. You can change your job. You can change your church. But bitterness is not resolved by external change. The change has to happen on the inside. Tell somebody, say, it's an inside job. Listen to this statement. Bitterness flourishes in the soil of justification. We feel justified by our bitterness. We feel that we have the right to be. I got a right to be bitter. All they did to me, what they said to me, how they handled me, I have a right to be bitter. People who have bitterness are so focused on the injustice done to them that they don't recognize that they have failed to properly respond to it. See, when you're bitter, you then become just as wrong as the wrong done to you. Because listen to this, God does not hold you accountable for what other folk have done to you, but you are accountable for the way you respond. Our scripture says in Hebrews 12, and I'm not going to be long at all, I promise you. Our scripture says in Hebrews 12 and 15, it says, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. Bitterness doesn't hurt the person that you're mad with. It's hurting you. Maybe it was an ex-wife. Maybe it was an ex-husband that did you wrong. Maybe your mother did you wrong. Maybe your father did you wrong. Maybe it was a supervisor that done you wrong. But your bitterness does not hurt them. It's hurting you. And we've been fooled by the devil to think that we're hurting people when we're bitter with them. But you ain't hurting them. You're hurting yourself. And we brag about our bitterness. Did you see how I ignored her? She was walking right towards me. I turned my head. And you feel like you hurt that person. You're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. The root is invisible, but it produces visible fruit. Listen to me. You got hurt in the past by this situation. It hurt you in the past. Why allow it to keep hurting your present? It's affecting you. It's affecting you. It hurt you in the past, and because you won't let it go, it's hurting you today. You got to get to the place where you're tired of hurting. And you got to say, look, you hurt me. Last year, you hurt me this time. You may have hurt me yesterday, but today I'm going to experience the new mercies of God, and I am not going to hurt anymore. this bitterness will spring up and trouble you. Now, let's look at some of the fruit, or let's look at some of the effects of bitterness. It affects us spiritually. It affects us emotionally. It affects us physically, mentally, socially, and it even impacts our destiny. Christians who are bitter experience spiritual damage. Some of you are not growing because of unresolved issues. You're around here dealing with anger and anxiety and frustration and stress and depression because of unresolved issues. Then it's affecting you physically. Blood pressure problems, headaches, depression, because of unresolved issues. You can't sleep at night. You ever been so upset with somebody you couldn't sleep at night? Don't y'all sit here and act like you've been. You ever been so mad with somebody you didn't even want to close your eyes, because every time you close your eyes, you saw that person? Come on here. I'm going to just stay up because I don't want to see them no more. It's affecting you physically. It has been proven that people who are bitter become sick, because bitterness is a spiritual disease. And listen to me, there's no pill for bitterness, because the root of this illness is not physical, it's spiritual. I want you to think about this. The doctor runs all kinds of tests on you, and he can't find anything wrong with you, but there is a manifestation of illness there. In some cases, it's caused by bitterness. Bitterness is not coming up on the x-ray. Doc, you don't see nothing? No, I don't see nothing. Oh, what's that tube they put you in? What's that? What's it called? MRI. Oh, we're going to need to do an MRI because something's wrong. And they're searching. They can't find it because they're not able to see your soul. It's a spiritual disease, but it's affecting you physically. Come on. Y'all think about it. Stuff is making you sick. I'll tell you something else about bitterness. It's the abortion of destiny. Bitterness will hinder you from fulfilling your destiny. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at that first part of Hebrews 12 and 15. The A part. Listen to what it says. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, you come up short of what God wanted to do in and through your life. You have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities that God has placed on the inside of you. And let me tell you something. One day, you're going to have to stand before God and give an account for everything that he put inside of you. You're going to have to give an account for the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God put on the inside of you. And you can't stand before God and say, God, I would have used my gifts, but those people made me mad. I wanted to do it, but I went to church and they made me upset, so I just sat down and I didn't do anything. I know I can sing. I know you gave me a voice to worship and sing, but I didn't like those people. You know what God's gonna say? God's gonna look at you and he's gonna ask you, well, what did you do with my love? I told you to love your enemies. I told you to bless them that curse you. I told you to pray for them that despitefully use you. What did you do with my love? Bitterness will abort destiny. Let me tell you something. When I leave this world, I want to leave empty. I want to do everything that God has assigned my hands to do. I tell you all the time, and God knows I'm telling you, and I want you to hear this. I do all that I do. I run as much as I run. I study as much as I study. I help as much as I can for one phrase. I do everything I do. I don't do what I do for money. I don't do what I do for fame. I do everything I do for one phrase. To hear God say, servant, well done. I just want to hear God say, well, I'm going to leave this place empty. I want to make sure that I do everything that my hands have been assigned to do. But if I'm bitter, it will abort my destiny. I want to show you something. Look at Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 17 in the Message Bible. Let me read this for you. Listen to what it says. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Oh, can I stop there for a second? He says, work and get along with each other and with God. So how do you think you're going to get along? You notice he says and? So you can't get along with God and not get along with people. You and I, we all right, but I don't like people. Can I help you out? God's in the people business. And if you're going to be on God's team, you got to love people. Look how y'all looking at me. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look at my pastor like that. Tell him, I don't allow that. I don't allow nobody looking at me. All right, let me finish reading this scripture. Otherwise, listen to this. You'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. One bitter person can ruin a whole church. But anyway, watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessings, but by then it was too late, tears or no tears. Bitterness will abort destiny. Now, I'm dealing with this today because so many Christians are sick but don't know it. So many believers are dying and don't know it. So we need to at least look at this thing, and let's look at the symptoms so we can recognize this spiritual illness. And I have a few symptoms that we're going to look at. Again, I don't want you to look at anybody else. I want you to evaluate yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, this is a self-check. Self-check. So I'm going to give you a few symptoms of bitterness. Number one. The inability to hear someone's name or encounter them without being flooded with negative emotions. The inability to hear someone's name or encounter them without being flooded with negative emotions. All you have to do is hear his or her name, and they'll change your attitude. Is there anybody whose name you can hear and it can change your entire attitude? Look how y'all looking at me. Don't even mention his name. I don't want to hear his name. I'm telling you, don't say it. Somebody's name. You need to tell me the name of a person can cause that bitterness to rise up in you. Or you can come across that person. Here you are walking in the mall, minding your business, and there they come, and you just like, I don't want to shop. Sisters, you know it's rough when you don't want to shop. all of these negative emotions come back and you start reliving the hurt from the past. Number two, intentional avoidance. It's a symptom of bitterness. Ignoring or turning away in a non-threatening environment. Naturally, if you're in an abusive situation, you need to separate yourself. I'm gonna say that again. If you are in an abusive situation, you do need to separate yourself. But when I say intentional avoidance, it's like I see you coming down this aisle, and then I turn and go down that aisle because I don't want to confront you in the church house. I know you come to 10 o'clock service, and I know you sit in the sanctuary, so I'm going to get to church late so I can sit in the overflow because God knows I don't want to see you. Because what may happen is I come to church on time and the usher fool around there and sit me next to you. And then pastor said, touch your neighbor. You don't want me to touch you. Intentional avoidance. Number three. Complete refusal to communicate. We say things to people like, I'm through with you. Or you're dead to me. Some parents are not speaking to their children. Some children are not speaking to their parents. Brothers and sisters haven't spoke to each other for years. Is there anybody that you're not talking to on purpose? My wife wanted to go to the movies to see this movie, Fences. So I took her to see it. Man, you're talking about an emotional roller coaster. Good God, I was worn out after I left them. You want to go to eat? No, I'm going to go to sleep. That movie, oh my God, I mean up and down. And then she crying, and the old man behind me, he's sobbing. I'm like, what the Lord? And I'm like, babe, why we couldn't go see something funny? I want to see something funny. This, I don't want to cry. But in the movie, the father and the son had a big misunderstanding. And if you hadn't seen it, I'm not going to just give it away. But they had a big misunderstanding. And they didn't speak to each other for years. And in the process of it, the father died. Now, the father was wrong. But the son allowed bitterness to control him. My parents divorced when I was 12. And as a child, I'll be honest with you, I was bitter with my father. I was watching other fathers interact with their sons, and I was mad. Like, well, why my daddy couldn't be like that with me? But when I got older, I got delivered from that bitterness because I realized that my father only did what he knew to do. He was repeating the sins of his father. And let me tell you something. Without God and without God's word renewing your mind, we will all repeat the sins of the past generation. And a lot of times we're expecting out of people what they don't have to give. So I forgave my father. And he got sick in his later days. And I brought him here from Michigan. And I took care of him royally. And God blessed me for that. See, when you get rid of all of that bitterness, you open yourself up for God's blessings. Symptom number four. Thoughts of revenge, including fantasies of harm coming to the person. Do you secretly desire misfortune or failure for somebody? Now, you're not going to drive the bus, but you would be really excited if they just stepped out in front of a bus. No, you ain't going to drive the bus because you're a Christian. But oh, it would bring joy to you if they just happened to step out in front of a bus. Thoughts of revenge, fantasies of harm come into a person. Come on, come on, come on. Think about this. Is there anybody from your past or even now in your life that you fantasize about them being harmed? Just look up, look up, look up, look up. Don't look down. Say, Lord, you coming to look at them. I hope you don't look over here. And we even pray these old crazy prayers, like God's going to answer these old crazy prayers. Lord, you don't have to kill them, just break their legs. And then we quote that famous saying when something happens to people that have done us wrong. God don't like ugly. Hey, hey. And you're saying it with a grin on your face. God don't like ugly. Ooh, see, I'm God's child. See, God told me if I just hold my peace, he'll gonna fight my battle. See, you just don't mess with me. You're rejoicing in the misfortune of another person. That's because you're dealing with bitterness. Number five, fifth symptom of bitterness is conversational obsession. You're telling anybody who will listen to you about the offense. Are you always talking about people that hurt you? Every conversation, I don't care what you're talking about, ends up dealing with your hurt or dealing with the person that hurt you. Every conversation, some kind of way you're going to figure out how to put this in there. You could be talking about a football game. Somebody said, yeah, Drew beat Drew. Yeah, you know, Andrew was something, you know. Oh, dirty boy. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you. Ain't no, his daddy wasn't no good either. And let me help you out. Your friends, they tired of hearing it. You want to know why nobody's answering your call? I'm going to help you. You want to know why? Everybody ain't that busy. Ooh, they're all busy. They're busy avoiding you. Because nobody wants to hear that all the time. I mean, every day you're dealing with this issue of bitterness. You're dealing with your hurt. You got to get over this stuff. Because it's not hurting the person, it's hurting you. You still crying about your ex. He done went on and got somebody else and got three or four little children. And you still crying about your ex. He ain't thinking about you. You got hurt in your last church. And you know when you're hurt, You have a habit of generalizing. All men are. You better not say it. But you don't know all men. All women are. And you better not say it. But you don't know all women. All preachers. I dare you. don't know all preachers. When I first started pastoring, I dealt with a lot of people with church hurt. I'll never forget. And this really sticks out in my mind. I'm a hugging and kissing kind of pastor. I don't want you. I don't want you. I got a wife. I don't want you. But this lady, man, I went to hug her. She was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, what's up? No. Don't do that. And I'm like, and later on I found out that a preacher had gotten out of his way. So she was hurt by that. And now she begins to generalize and put everybody in the same box. But everybody's not the same. And let me tell you something. If you pray, God will connect you with the right people. I'm telling you, I gotta be honest now. Confession's good for the soul. I got a little mad at first. I'm like, what? I ain't gonna say that. I'm not saying that. I'm getting off track. But anyway, that is a symptom of bitterness. Here's number six: resentment of a person's success. You're unable to celebrate a person's victory because you feel like their victory or their success is unfair. Now, they could have changed for the better, but you don't want to hear that. Here's a question. Would your feelings be hurt if you heard about a certain person's success? I mean, Lord, you can bless anybody else, but don't bless them. And you know what this proves? This proves that you don't believe the word that you read. You believe God can deliver other folk, but not that person. You believe God can deliver you. How many of you have been delivered from a lot of stuff? What makes you think that God ran out of power when he delivered you? God still has power to deliver other people. And you can't leave people in the past and believe that God can't change them. Oh, Lord, don't let them succeed. They dirty. That's bitterness. Number seven. Now I'm almost finished. The seventh symptom of bitterness is spiritual dryness. Now, this lesson is really about God's love for you. God wants you healthy. God wants you whole because God loves you. And God has something great in store for your life. But listen to me. Some of you should be further along spiritually than you are. You've been in church too long. You should be further along spiritually than you are. You've got too much word in you not to be further along spiritually than you are. Things still hurt you too quick. You're still bothered when nobody speaks to you. You ought to be more mature than that. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I acted like a, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's some things that maturity calls for. And I will tell you, some of you should be further along spiritually. You should be in a place now where you're ready to help the babies that come in. And I can't, and the problem is some folk refuse to grow. So I can't allow you to help the babies because you're still on the bottom. They're getting mad with me. The church, and not, I'm not just speaking of this particular church, but the church as a whole has a whole lot of people that should be further along. But we're filled with gray-headed babies. Been in church shouting for years, saying the right things, acting the right, dressed up like a real saint of the living God. But your maturity is not in how you shout. And I will tell you something else. Your maturity is not proven even by how many scriptures you know. Your maturity is evident in how many scriptures you're doing. Some of us were closer to God years ago than we are now. What happened to you? Who hurt you? Who stopped you from following God? Or who did you allow to stop you? Could it be that you've allowed bitterness to stop you? The Good News translation of Hebrews 12 and 15 says, "Guard against turning back from the grace of God. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up and causes many troubles with its poison." The Common English Bible says, "Make sure that no one misses out on God's grace. Make sure that no root of bitterness grows up that might cause trouble and pollute many people." Bitterness is like drinking poison and then handing it over to your kids. Because the people that are affected are people that are tied to you in relationships. So you have this poison in you, and then now you're spreading it throughout your family, and then you're spreading it throughout your associations with other people. Come here, Brittany, take a hit of this bitterness. Steve, Simon, take some of this cup of poison. Little Inslee, put some poison in her bottle. Because our text says, many are defiled. In other words, it affects those that you come across, that you spew this bitterness out to. You're passing this poison around. There's been churches that have been torn apart because the cup has been passed throughout the church. Bitterness, just this poison you've just been spewing out, and you've been hurting people. Your family didn't even know that you were going through certain things until you gave them some corrupt communication. Bitter people bring trouble to themselves, and they also defile everyone that's connected to them. Think about that. Poor children have to sit around the house. They see you shouting in church, see you with your hands up in church praising God, and then they hear you at home talking about people. And you know what? They end up disliking the people that you dislike. And they don't even know why. It's because you fed them some poison. I've been pastoring almost 18 years. And I've been able to sometimes discern people that don't like me. You know how? By their kids. They walk up to me, "Yeah!" I said, "Your mama been talking about me." I mean, that may not be the case, but I'm just saying, it affects those that you are tied to. And you have to give an account for people that you turned away from God. You've got to give an account for the poison. Do you realize that we're going to have to give an account for every word that we've said? That's important. You know, if you would just think about that, if you would think about the fact that one day I got to meet God, and it may be sooner than later. One day I've got to meet God, and I'm going to have to give an account for every word that comes out of my mouth. Wow. Every word. You know, we sit around and we say things and we forget that God's listening. You're running from people, but you can't run from God. What kind of conversation did God have to hear out of you yesterday? We ain't got to go to yesterday. What about today? Because, you know, sometimes people sit in church and they spread poison even in church. Oh, man. They get out on the parking lot spreading their poison. You sitting out, you trying to get to your car, and they sitting out there waiting on you. I was waiting on you. I want to talk to you. How'd you enjoy service today? Oh, it was great. I needed that word. Yeah, it was all right. It is all right. You know, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, man, that dude, man, I don't know. Somebody get on my nerves. I'm telling you, man, I don't know, you know, I mean, I get so tired of hearing him talk about, you know, he been delivered from this and that. You know, somebody keep on talking about their own weaknesses. They still weak, yeah, I'm telling you. Oh, I know how you talk. I'm just tired of hearing about it. And I just, look. And I just feel so sorry for his poor little wife. Lord, have mercy. I just feel so sorry for that poor little lady, Lord. I could not be married to that man telling all my business up in there to all those people. I'm telling you, something wrong with him. Something wrong with him. They need to get him checked. I'm telling you, man, the man has diarrhea of the mouth. I'm telling you, the man. You're right. You couldn't be married to me. But then see, what happens, that's how it starts. And then it opens you up to entertain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know if you open your ears to hear negativity, you'll start seeing negativity? If somebody keeps telling you something so long, it affects what you see. If somebody keeps telling you certain things, you let somebody just keep on drilling your head. Yeah. They can tell you fat. You know, you're gaining weight. Now you ain't gaining a pound, but you're in the mirror. You know what? It affects your mind. It affects your thinking, and it affects what you see. That's why commercials are so prevalent and powerful. Because they're trying to get you to see certain things. You see these tennis shoes and you see these athletes jumping and flying through the sky, you feel like you're going to fly. So you go out and spend $150 so you can fly like the athletes. The problem is you don't have the same camera work. I'll get that tomorrow. We're going to get rid of this bitterness.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today. If you're ever in the greater New Orleans area, please visit Destiny Christian Center at 612 Main Street in La Place, Louisiana. If not, you can visit us at destinychristian.org/radio.